Our scripture this morning is Psalm 34, and we will be looking at verses 1 through 10. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 10. And there's a little title or description of the psalm, and these are actually part of the original Hebrew manuscripts, the Bible. And so let me just read this title. Now, not all the psalms have a title, but this one does. It was written by David, of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. And so King David writes, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you, his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. So David, he actually wasn't king yet when he wrote this psalm, but he wrote this after a rather traumatic event. Actually, two traumatic events. King Saul. Saul was king, and Saul looked upon David as a threat, and so Saul was trying to kill King David too. He was trying to kill David, I should say. And so David flees from King Saul, and he flees to the city of Gath, where that was in Philistine territory. And this king there, Abimelech, he hears that David is there. He arrests him, and he's going to kill King David. He's going to execute him. And David knew that he was in a tight spot. He really, literally jumped from the frying pan into the fire. The frying pan of King Saul trying to kill him into the frying pan of King Abimelech trying to kill him. And so you read all about this in 1 Samuel chapter 21, but David acts insane. He starts acting crazy. And so saliva, spit starts dripping down his beard, and he starts like scratching the door and making marks in them. And Abimelech, he looks at David and he says to his advisors, why did you bring him to me? This man is a madman. Get rid of him. Get him out of here. You know, people are nervous and scared when somebody acts insane. Now, no extra cost for this. This is a value-added point to the message. This really works, not just in David's case, but I have a friend. He was a Bible college friend. He was in my wedding, and his name is Danny. He grew up in Bridesburg and then Fox Chase. But Danny one time was walking down the street, and there were a group of kids that looked like they were about to do him harm. They were staring at him, looking at them, whispering to each other, and Danny was sure that he was going to be mugged. And he remembered this story from 1 Samuel. And so Danny started acting crazy. He started making weird noises and hitting himself in the head and rolling his eyes around. And the kids made like the Red Sea as they walked around him. They were scared to do anything. So if you're ever in a tight spot, no extra cost. You can just tuck this away for future reference. Now, do not do this at church congregational meetings. It will not do any good whatsoever. Well, anyway, let's get back to the text. That was just a commercial break from Danny. So it was written after David was rescued by the Lord. The Lord delivered him. He delivered him from King Saul, who was trying to kill him. And then the Lord delivered David from King Abimelech. And so he writes this psalm, and it's a psalm of thanksgiving and praise and gratitude to the Lord. Verses 1 to 10 talk about David's appreciation. And we're just actually going to focus on the first 10 verses today. verses 11 to 22, we may touch upon another time, but we're just going to kind of settle in on verses 1 to 10 today. And so David starts off in verses 1 to 3. He starts off with just general praise and worship. He starts off with just thanking the Lord for his goodness, praising God for who he is and for all that he has done. And so he says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Now, another word for extol would be to bless. I will bless the Lord at all times. And so David starts off and he just starts thinking about God. But I think he goes beyond God's deliverance of him from Abimelech and from King Saul. I think he just is starting to think about who the Lord is, who God is, and all that God has done for him, and how God has met his needs and kept him alive and provided for him for all these years. And I would encourage you and myself that we should have like a lifestyle of praise and gratitude to the Lord. Now, even think about today. What has the Lord done for you today? Well, he woke you up, right? He woke you up. And hopefully you'll stay awake through this message. But he woke you up today. You know, he gave you health sufficient to be here. How many of you have ate breakfast? Okay, anyone fasting today? You don't have to raise your hand. But he gave you a meal today. He's going to give you other food today. He's given you this church. And these are your brothers and sisters in Christ. And this church is still going on. He's giving us this worship opportunity. He's given us a Nam over there who plays the organ very well. And so think about all the blessings that the Lord has provided for you already on March 17th. And so David, he's saying, I will extol the Lord at all times. And not just on Sunday, not just one day of the week, but he has a lifestyle of thanking God and thinking of God and recognizing all that God is and all that he's done for David. And so his praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord, let the afflicted hear and rejoice. David was in a tight spot, and the Lord delivered him from both King Saul and from King Abimelech. And so verses 1 and 2 are very personal. David himself is just praising and thanking the Lord and blessing the Lord and remembering who God is and his goodness. But then in verse 3, he invites everybody reading the psalm to join with him in praise and worship. And so he says, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Now, you and I, as I said, need to develop a lifestyle of worship that every day we just look in wonder at the mercies and the goodness of God. But Sunday is a special day because Sunday is the day that we gather as the people of God to worship him corporately. And I love church. I absolutely love church. I go to a lot of churches, and I just enjoy worshiping with the people of God. And so I would encourage you to treasure your church. Treasure your church. Treasure what God has given you here. And treasure one another. And so come together on Sundays, the Lord's Day, to worship him together corporately as a church. And so then David moves on in verses 4 to 7. He moves on and he kind of drills down and focuses more on how God delivered him from King Saul and from King Abimelech. As he said, verses 1 to 3 are just more general praise and worship and blessing the Lord, remembering and thanking God for who he is and all that he has done. But in verses 4 to 7, David begins to narrow things down and specifically think about what the Lord has done for him. And these verses are very, very striking and powerful. They kind of cover all the bases of what you and I go through when we're in a tight spot, when we're going through a tough time. In verse 4, he starts off, he says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. You know, in these verses, David, in verse 4, talks about how God delivered me from all my fears. In verse 6, he says, God delivered me from all my troubles. And in the Hebrew language, there's a difference going on. Fears in verse 4 is referring to what he felt inside. Literally, the word means terrors. Terrors. Things that terrified him. Things that just put him beside himself. Whereas troubles in verse 6 refer to circumstances. And so what David is saying that when he cried out to the Lord, God delivered him from the terrors of his heart. But then when he cried out to the Lord, God also delivered him from his circumstances and made his circumstances better. And to be honest, his circumstances were the things that filled his heart and his mind with terrors. Now, when I read verse 4, that verse is very personal to me. You know, I think most of you know that in May of 2021, I had to have a second open heart surgery. I had an aortic valve I was born with back in 1956. It was a good year. Eisenhower was president. But my valve was defective from birth. Didn't know that. It was what they call a bicuspid valve. Only two leaflets instead of three. It was an aortic valve. And it wore out when I was in my 50s. And so in 2013, they had to replace my aortic valve with an artificial valve. It was a cow valve. It was bovine. So I was part cow. I patronize Chick-fil-A for that purpose. You know that. And I stay away from McDonald's. Don't want to eat my Uncle Ralph. And normally, these artificial valves, they last like 12 to 15 years, even longer if it was a strong cow. But mine wore out in 2021. And in 2013, they gave me about 2 weeks to live without the surgery. In 2021, I guess the cow was a little stronger, they gave me about 2 months to live without the surgery. So I had to have it done. And the surgery was a more complicated surgery because I had all the scar tissue from the first surgery in my chest. They cracked your chest open. They couldn't do TAVR. Once you have regular open heart surgery, TAVR is not really an option. And then we had complications. My lungs wouldn't start working. I had acute respiratory failure. My lungs wouldn't work. So they intubate you, and they could not extubate me. And they didn't know when they could extubate me, if at all. And so I still remember I was in coronary critical care, and I couldn't talk because you have you're intubated. I could write notes to my nurse. And I remember that the first surgery, I was extubated after a couple hours. My lungs started working after the first surgery. But the second surgery, they just would not work. And my surgeon even called at 3 in the morning to see how I was doing because he was concerned if I was going to survive. And I remember during that night, I was awake the whole night, that I felt terror. Now, I know the Lord was with me, but I did not like my circumstances. I did not like being extubated. I did not like my circumstances at all. And I didn't like the fact that I had no control over anything. I was just lying there helpless. And what I did was, I cried out to the Lord. I did the very thing that Psalm 34 talks about. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. And He delivered me from all my fears. And He did, in fact, do that. He calmed my soul, calmed my spirit. And so when you're going through a tough time, don't hesitate to seek the Lord and to cry out to Him. And ask God to just calm your heart and calm your mind. And then the promise and hope of verse 5 is that when we look to the Lord, our faces will be lifted up. They will become radiant. Our demeanor, our countenance will change. That no longer will we be cast down and utterly having feelings of no hope. But our faces will light up. And David cries out, he says that when we look to the Lord, that we will never be ashamed, we will never be disappointed. And then in verse 6, David goes on and he talks about external circumstances, the things that actually fill us with terror, fill us with hopelessness. He says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. And again, that would be your external circumstances, the things that are perhaps filling you with terror, with upset, with feelings of anxiety and hopelessness. And again, the Lord saved David. Abimelech did not kill him. In fact, he kicked him out of Gath. He sent him away. And Saul did not kill him. The Lord saved him out of all his troubles. And then the confidence and hope of David, and this is one of the truths that I remembered when I was in coronary critical care, that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Then I reminded myself that I am not alone in this bed. I am not alone in this room. That the Lord is with me. He's on a camping trip. And yes, I was not in a position to have s'mores at that moment, being intubated, but I knew that my Jesus was there with me, and he was going to be with me every step of the way. So that's the second section. David drills down, and he focuses on how God, in a very spectacular way, delivered him from Saul and from the king of Gath, from Abimelech. And then he moves on in verse 8. And he moves on and he invites you and myself to join with him in getting to know God better. He invites us to taste and see that the Lord is good. I love verse 8. It's one of my favorite verses. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. You know, the title of my message is Better Than a Tasty Cake. God is better than a tasty cake. You know, what's Tasty Cake's slogan? All the good things wrapped up in one, right? That's the slogan. Can anyone sing the little jingle? Nobody bakes a cake as tasty as a tasty cake. Anyone want to do special music this morning? But, you know, the Lord is better than a tasty cake. He really is. And that's what David is inviting us to. David says, listen, verses 1 to 3, let's just think about all that God has done for us, all of his goodness. And then David makes it very personal in verses 4 to 6. And he says, this is what the Lord did for me. You know, I was in a tight spot. I had two kings who wanted to kill me. And they had the power to kill me. They had the opportunity to kill me. But God delivered me. And now I want you also to get to know my God better. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. And then he moves on in verse 9. He says, fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. You know, he refers to lions, and Israel did have lions. They were called Asian lions. Don't today, but Israel back in David's day did have lions, and they were called Asian lions. They were kind of a cross between mountain lions and the lions of Africa, the mountain lions that used to be in our country, or still are in our country, out west. And, you know, you think that a lion pretty much gets what he wants. He's powerful, he's strong, he can prey upon weaker animals. But David says that even lions can grow weak and hungry. In a time of famine, even they can end up without food, and they can die, and they can become weak and emaciated. But his note of triumph is, but those who seek the Lord, they will lack no good thing. And the key to all this is to seek the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. Now that word fear doesn't mean to be afraid of God. You know, Jesus says perfect love casts out fear. But to fear God means that we reverence him. To fear God means that we understand that he is God. To fear God means that we run to him for help when we are in a tight spot, when we know that we're in a bad place and we're in over our head and we need help. That's what it means to fear God. Doesn't mean that we are afraid of Him and we shy away from Him. On the contrary, it means that we seek Him, we run to Him, we worship Him, we adore Him. And so David gives this wonderful invitation to you and myself this morning. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord. Reverence Him. Honor Him. Seek Him out. Fear the Lord, you His holy people. For those who fear Him, they will lack nothing. Even lions, they can grow weak and hungry. But those who seek the Lord, they will lack no good thing. All of us are going to go through difficult times. Maybe not as bad as David, where we have two kings trying to kill him or wanting to kill him. But you and I will go through difficult times. And the first person you and I should always call out to is the Lord. And He's always there. And He loves you. And He cares about you. And He also has the power to settle your fears, your terrors that you experience emotionally. And He also has the power to free you from and deliver you from the circumstances that are causing you distress. So, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's better than a tasty cake. Now, you are beholding a miracle this morning. I'm actually done. I don't know how that happened. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your love. And Lord, we thank You for Your invitation that You invite us to come to You and to taste and see how good You are. And Lord, let us follow David's example. Let us remember who You are and praise and bless You and extol You at all times. And Lord, all of us have specific memories of times that You came and You delivered us, You rescued us, You gave us peace that passes all understanding. You changed the circumstances that were filling us with fear and dread and terror and anxiety. All of us can testify to that, Lord. And Lord, we thank You for Your gracious invitation that You want us to reverence You and honor You, but You don't want us to be afraid to come to You. And so You invite us, Lord, to taste and see how good You are. And Lord, You are better than a tasty cake. You are all the good things wrapped up in one. And we thank You and praise You for who You are. And thank You and praise You for Your love for us. And so we pray these things now in the name of our Lord. Amen.